السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers. It is the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, and we have had two nikahs. So it would be appropriate to say something in connection with the nikah that has taken place. Last week I was discussing Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah's nasihat, his advice, or we can call it his warning to all those who are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and who claim that they are saliks, that they want a connection with Allah Ta'ala, they want muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that they are true Muslims, they are true believers, that Jannat is what they are seeking from Allah Ta'ala. So then he said that it is essential, it is necessary, it is important, it is obligatory that the person's aqaid must be right. Then it is extremely important that the person must not go towards sins. No matter how much of ibadat the person makes, no matter how much of zikr and tilawat he makes, no matter how much of dini khidmat and service he does, no matter how much he goes to a khanqah and sits by some sheikh and makes illallah, or goes for his islah, or no matter how much of tabligh, dawat and gasht he makes, but it is extremely important that the person must distance himself from sins. Otherwise, if he can go to any place, no matter how much of dini work he does, no matter how much of generosity and kindness he shows to people, no matter how much of hampers he distributes, but he must not sit and claim that Jannat is his because he has specialized in a certain department. He has to distance himself from sins. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asl hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. Which you have heard many times by now. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, if you look at their lives, then this is something that you will find very, very conspicuous in their lives, that there was that khauf and khashiyat of Allah Ta'ala and muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. There was no question of committing sins. But because we are human beings and we are far away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we are bound to make some mistakes, some errors in our lives. We are bound to make some slip. We are bound to fall. So if that happens, then the person must make sincere tawbah and return to Allah Ta'ala. He must not continue in that sinful life. We'll come to that little later. So I was discussing that is the second point that he mentioned. The third point that he mentioned is that in our dealings with people, we should not deal in such a manner that when we die, somebody's rights we are owing or we haven't fulfilled. And as a result, we have to pay in the akhirat. The person must deal with his foes and with his friends in such a manner that he fulfills the rights of all. Now he says that this is extremely important in the life of every Muslim, that you must fulfill the rights of all. Even if he is your enemy, there can be differences of opinion, or there can be some kind of claims that you may have against the person, or there can be some kind of injustice that the person has done. So there you are entitled, if you wish to seek justice. But just because the person is an enemy, we have got no right to exceed the boundaries and then become unjust ourselves. And then to seek the knowledge of deen, he says, you must have essential knowledge. the knowledge. If the person is getting married, he must know the masail of nikah, the masail of talaq, the rights of the wife, and if the woman, she must know the rights of the husband, so that the life may become pleasant, happy and peaceful. So what I am saying now is actually connected to the same talk that we heard last week, that there are two things there. In fact, every aspect of it. That when a person is getting married, then if his aqidah is not right, then there is no question of nikah. If the person's aqidah is not right, if the person doesn't believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or he believes in Trinity, or he believes in anything that is against the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, so then there is no question of marriage, no matter how much he says nakahtuha, qabiltuha, but Sharia doesn't consider that as a nikah. So aqidahs are how important. Then as far as sins are concerned, three times you heard in the nikah khutbah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqu Allah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqu rabbakum. Three times, fear Allah, fear Allah. Have the khawf and khashiyat of Allah. Distance yourself from sins. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says the person must distance himself completely from sins, and this is what we are hearing, that the person who is getting married, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, out of all the ayats of the Quran Sharif, he chooses these ayats. Last night I mentioned that it is a weakness in us if we have to restrain ourselves just because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is not there to punish. He doesn't enjoy any kind of punishment, giving punishment. No happiness does he get in that. If that was the question, then Allah Ta'ala would have created us all and allowed us to live our lives like animals and then go to Jahannam. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to become the beneficiaries of Jannat, the ni'mats of Jannat, to enjoy the bounties in Jannat. Everlasting peace, happiness, everlasting joy, satisfaction, contentment, where there will be no pain, no problem, no jealousy, no malice, no greed, no pride, no anger, nothing. Enjoyment upon enjoyment. Allah Ta'ala wants everyone to get that in the Akhirat. Therefore, He sent 124,000 Nabis to this world, and Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the Khatamun Nabiyin. And then again, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us a Jannat on earth also. And the Jannat on earth is peace of mind. Because you cannot have a world, or you cannot live in this world and say that no pain will ever come to me, and I will have no kind of grief and sorrow. That's impossible. If the person himself doesn't get hurt and injured, then somebody in the family can get hurt. Somebody in the family will die. Somebody in the family will meet up with an accident. And that will definitely cause him grief and pain too. But what we are talking about is peace inside, tranquility inside, contentment inside the heart. And all these things are inside the heart. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give it outside. If we think that by looking at a person's property, his mansion and his palace, we come to conclusion that this person is living a very happy life, then we are mistaken. Go and ask the kings of the world what kind of happiness they are enjoying. At this moment in time, what kind of happiness our rulers are enjoying, go and ask them. They can have palaces, they can have oil wells. But they are so worried and concerned that they must not be toppled. They must not end up in prisons. Their government must not be overthrown. There must be no revolution. Shahon ke saron par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saron par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seenon mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seenon mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. The kings of the time, you have heard this also many times, but I haven't prepared anything, whatever comes to mind I will repeat. The kings, they have crowns on their head, they're sitting on thrones, and they've got mansions and palaces. But in their heads, there is a pain, they are suffering a headache all the time. And those who are the ahle wafa, those who are the true servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those who have got love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at heart, those who will sacrifice their evil pleasures and desires, but they will not break the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them an ocean of noor that flows inside their hearts. And when that ocean of noor flows in their hearts, then they will not exchange that for anything in this world. And it's not that they will be deprived of the pleasures of this world also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them also the best of this world. The best of this world is that the person gets enjoyment in what little he has or what plentiful he has. Even if he has plentiful, there's enjoyment, there's satisfaction, there's contentment, there's peace, there's no fights and quarrels and arguments, and there's no pulling of triggers, and there's no punching and kicking and booting of parents by children, and of husbands and wives at the throats of each other all the time. Then that we will say, that is what we talk about, enjoyment. Again, it reminds me that Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he was eating. He asked Hakim Akhtar, kya hai? He said, dal. Dal hai, dal. So he said, is dal mein mujhe biryani ka maza aa raha hai. I am enjoying the taste of biryani in this dal. He said, Hazrat, how can you be enjoying the taste of biryani in dal? He said, because I see the hand of my Allah feeding me. He says, I see the hand of my Allah feeding me. He's my beloved. And when the beloved feeds a person, there is an enjoyment. So he says, how can you see that hand? He says, this hand that I put into the dal and I pick it up and bring it to my mouth, who is it that is picking this hand up? Who is giving the power to this hand? If he paralyzes it, where can I pick it up? So he says, they used to get enjoyment of biryani in dal. And I say that these days we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in our biryanis. Why? Because our hearts have become restless, full of anxieties, worries, restlessness, which is a punishment from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because of our sins. That is the first place that suffers when the person commits sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab comes first on his heart, not on his wealth and property and things like that. So Allah ta'ala will leave all that with him, but will give him a restless heart. Now he's suffering all kinds of disaster in his heart. There's earthquake in the heart. There's gale force winds in the heart. There's tremors and shake-ups in the heart. So the person has to be away from sins, and especially after the person gets married, at that time shaitan and nafs, they make all their attacks. That you are still young, life is to be enjoyed. And nobody really died when they committed any kind of sin, when they watched filthy films, when they watched porn films in the hotel rooms where they went for honeymoon. No azab came, no earthquake came there. All these are stories and fairy tales. So enjoy yourself. Then they will suffer the consequences of that enjoyment later in life. They will see the consequences of that later in life if they don't make sincere tawbah. When that youth will go, when that jawani will go, tujhe pehle bachpan ne barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, tujhe pehle bachpan ne barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. Budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya, ajal tera kar de ki bilkul safaya, jaga ji lagane ki duniya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe tamasha nahi hai. So make use of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Eat, drink. Nobody stops the person from eating good food, wearing good clothes, traveling in a good car, living in a reasonably good home. Nobody is stopping. These are ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They must be earned properly, not at the expense of other people's rights. No injustice must be done to anybody in the earning of that wealth. And after that, if the person with shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses it, there is nothing wrong with that. However, to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when that wealth comes, or in that health, then the person is heading for disaster in his life. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that there were four things that were the sunnats of the anbiya. All the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, all the nabis, one sunnat or four sunnats you will find in their lives. The first sunnat he says is haya, al-haya. Shame and modesty is a sunnat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Meaning that each and every person has to have this sunnat in his life. These days we talk too much about sunnats which are easy. And the famous sunnah that everybody inquires about is, Maulana, should we eat the zarda and the suji before the biryani or after the biryani? What is sunnat? To eat the sweet meat after the biryani or before? So the sweet sunnats everybody knows. So the first one is haya. Say that haya, modesty and shame, you will find in every Nabi's life. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rizafataka al haya faf'al ma shi'ta. And so many other hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on haya, there's no time to go into any details. Meaning that even if the person is married or he is not married, if he is a Muslim, then there must be modesty, there must be haya, there must be some kind of shame in him. Is this shame, is this modesty that the person is watching the filthy films on the television screen with his mother, with his sister, with his wife, with his young daughters and young sons, and afterwards when they become rebels, and when they become addicts, drug addicts, and when they begin to reject the parents, and when their cultural lifestyle becomes exactly like what they watch on the television, then the wife starts complaining that my husband is involved with women. And the husbands start complaining, my wife is ran away with somebody else. Now, who is it that is inviting this immodesty and shamelessness and behaya into the homes? Again, it comes to mind, and I will repeat it 100 times because many people have given it up after listening to this example, and this example just came to mind again. That I always say that watch, that if I have to tell you that I want to send a person to your house to commit adultery in your house, these few couples, I want to send them to your house to commit adultery. You are a very pious person, you are a namazi also, and we see you also doing a lot of deen work, and you got white kurta and white beard also, so I'm sending them to your house. So what will that person say? The person will swear, he will curse. He'll say, you want to send to my house, couldn't you think of anybody else? Then if I say, no, there are some people that want to drink, they enjoy their alcohol, and they say that they want to have a place to drink, so I'm sending them to your home. Or there are people who want to gamble, I want to send them to your home. Or there are some people who want to go to the disco, they want to have a disco party at your home. Now all these type of sins, if you have to tell somebody that I want to send them to your home, or the prayers in the church, what they normally have, I want to have that conducted in your home. Or the bells which ring in the temples, in front of the idols, when people are getting married, so I want to have that conducted, that religious festival in your home. What would a Muslim say? Will he be satisfied? Will he be happy? Will he say, welcome into my house? And yet that is exactly what we are doing in our lounges, in our bedrooms, in this room and in that room. Adultery upon adultery on the screen. Drink upon drink on the screen. Casinos, discos, rave clubs. Filthy scenes. Sometimes church, the marriage is taking place of the film actor and actress in there. Sometimes the temple where the bells are ringing. And sometimes the actor is folding his hands before the idol there. We are bringing all that into our rooms, into our homes. But alhamdulillah, our iman is still at a very, very high level. No effect, nothing at all. So solid our iman is that nothing shakes it. So haya, modesty and shame, it has to be part and parcel of a Muslim's life. Wallah, the day we get haya, modesty and shame in our lives, we will see what a difference it will make in our homes. There'll be peace, there'll be harmony, there'll be respect. There'll be respect for each other. There'll be respect for the parents. There'll be respect between brothers and sisters. Those days, a person never used to commit a sin in front of his parents. Now they say the children do everything in front of the parents. Why do they do it? Who brought that culture into the home? Nevertheless, so haya is one. The second thing is itar, at-ta'attur, khushbu. Now there again we have to be a little bit of understanding that sometimes in masajid there are many people who are sensitive to very strong itars. So at such a time, we should not go around with bottles of our ithar and go and apply on everybody's hand whether he likes it or not. And ourselves also, we should not use so much that it causes any kind of offense. Here the khushbu was meant that you must not cause that our perspiration, the odor of our body, the odor of our mouth must not cause any offense to the person that we are standing next to in the masjid. That was the reason for putting that. Or any Muslim or any person. But here some people, they apply strong ether and come, and that causes an offense. And some people, their mouths, they cannot do without their cigarettes. So that causes an offense. So sometimes bad odor that's causing. So nevertheless, there must be atidal. That means the person must use ether, but it must not be such that it causes any person any taklif. So therefore, if you want to give to somebody, you must tell him first you smell, see if you like it, then you apply. Otherwise, leave it. So that was the second thing. Then he said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that another sunnah that you will find in all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is miswak, brushing of the teeth. And the fourth one is nikah. That all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, besides Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, was raised up to the heavens, but inshallah he will return. When he will return, he will get married, he will even have children. When he will pass away, he will be buried in the Rauza Mubarak next to Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There he will be buried. So he too will get married. Meaning that nikah is not something that affects your spiritual progress. But in nikah again, there has to be a diet with that nikah of sins. Now if the person is committing, is entering a nikah, and that nikah was now supposed to be protecting him and safeguarding him from adultery, from that nikah was supposed to be protecting him from indulging in the life of zina. So if it is not protecting him and not safeguarding him, then it is meaning that this person is not on a diet of sins, a diet from sins. He is indulging in sins. He is casting lustful glances. He is not leaving any woman that is working with him. And especially the person who is a boss himself, or is a manager himself, or he is the employer himself, then which Quran Sharif or which Kitab says, or which government regulation says that this person must employ a young and pretty woman to be his secretary? Does it say anywhere? So who are we fooling? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. You cannot shut those doors, you cannot close those curtains and think that nobody is watching you. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in these days, he is showing it that suddenly there is a heart attack here and the person is gone in the prostitute quarters. Suddenly there is a cinema that burns and 200 people die in Bangladesh on Eid day. And suddenly in a disco, you find so many people dead in a stampede, and so many in an earthquake gone, and so many were in hotel rooms, they were committing adultery, fornication, drinking and doing all kinds of haram. And the earthquake swallowed up the hotel together with the people that were in there. So the person has to be very much on guard that he must always be careful that his death must not come in such a state that he'll bring embarrassment, shame and humiliation and disgrace upon himself, his family and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So whenever we are tempted to commit sins at that time, just think for a while, what if my death comes in this action of mine? Will I be happy that tomorrow's newspaper must announce? Will the person be happy that the next day's newspaper must announce that so and so a Muslim, and also if he had all the signs of Islam on him, if he had all the signs of Islam on him, and again that example, that if a person has got on his shop there a big board, a notice board, and that sign says that we stock chocolates, we stock biscuits, we stock cakes, and all the delicacies we have got in our shop, and when the person walks into his shop, then he finds nothing but dead rats and cats and monkeys, and he finds urine and stool there and filthy smell there, what will the customer say? That remove that signboard from there. What you are claiming to be stocking, you don't seem to be having anything in stock there. It's exactly the opposite you are stocking. So this Muslim who has got signs on him, the beard is a sign of Islam, this kurta is a sign, our topis are a sign, Our names itself is a sign that this person is a Muslim. He is recognized by his Muslim name. Our going to the masjid is a sign that we are Muslims. So our signboard says, because we are advertising, these are all signs that we are Muslims. So meaning that as Muslims we have got certain kinds of stocks in this heart of ours. There are certain stocks that we have got in our heart. So what are those stocks that we have got in our heart? The stocks should be of taqwa, piety. The stocks of zuhd. The stocks of qanaat, contentment. The stocks of shukr. The stocks of sabr. The merchandise of muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. The merchandise of love for Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The merchandise of all these type of things the person is claiming he has got and he should have in his heart. Generosity, kindness, charity, sincerity, nobility, truthfulness, honesty. These are the stocks he is claiming that he is carrying in this heart of his. Now when this Muslim, somebody deals with him and he takes him for a ride, he deceives him, he cheats him, and especially if it's a non-Muslim. Then he says, but your signboard was showing that you are a Muslim and you were the stockist of all these kind of things inside your heart. But I don't find truthfulness in you, I don't find honesty, I don't find charity, I don't find kindness, I don't find compassion, I don't find mercy. I find injustice in you. I find barbarity in you. So we don't say that the person must remove those signs. What we say that we must keep those signs too, and he must bring inside his heart that which he claims he's got. Then we will see a different life altogether. We'll find a society that will enjoy peace and harmony, tranquility, contentment. We get tired whole day listening to cases. Marital problem, drug problem, this problem, that problem, that problem. Which house seems to be free of problems? Ha! Allah Ta'ala must give us hidayat. We are not enjoying any kind of peace and sukoon and tranquility because we are distancing ourselves from deen, from sharia, from the Quran, from the sunnah. And we are searching for sukoon and tranquility and peace in those places where it does not exist. Some are going to the rave clubs and thinking they will find peace. Some are going to the nightclubs and thinking they'll find peace. Some are committing adultery upon adultery and thinking they will find peace and happiness. Some are indulging in other kinds of vices and sins and searching for what? Searching for peace, searching for tranquility, searching for happiness. How can you find happiness in thorns? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the creator of happiness and He is the creator of misery and pain. Sometimes in pains and in difficulty and in the outward conditions of poverty and hardships. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He is in the heart of a person, the person is obeying Allah Ta'ala, then even between those thorns, Allah Ta'ala will make him like a rose that blooms. He will enjoy peace and tranquility. Now how can we explain these things in words? Today is a public holiday, we'll take 5 minutes extra. Not more, inshallah. So how will the person find peace and happiness when he's searching for it in the wrong places? Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsita mein. O Allah, with whomsoever you are pleased. Then day and night he is in gardens, day and night he is enjoying what gardens? We can't even explain. Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that I've got diamonds. What the kings, they were sitting on their thrones. When they will go, they'll leave their thrones and their crowns and everything and go. But when Waliullah will go into his grave, he's going to take the diamonds with him, which he's got in his heart. And those are the diamonds of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So nikahs, marriages, now all these things will keep on taking place. We must make dua, Allah Ta'ala create love and muhabbat between all couples who are married. Allah Ta'ala must make their homes a pleasant place to live. Must make the jannat on earth for them. Allah Ta'ala must unite their hearts, unite the families. Allah Ta'ala must give them the best of dunya and akhirat. But all that will come when the person will fulfill the rights of his wife. When the husbands will have a heart that is large They say to run a big show, you must have a large heart. A house is built with bricks and sand, but a home is built with hearts, with love. A home is built with love. So you got to have compassion, kindness, forgiveness. Don't demand my right, my right, my right. Don't go by the book of rights. Go by the book of what should I be doing. I should be fulfilling the rights of my wife, my parents, my in-laws. When you are going to go out of your way to fulfill others' rights, then are they stupid and foolish not to fulfill your rights? But if each one demands my right, so then it's going to end up in disaster. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq of practicing upon the Quran, upon the Sunnah, upon the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May He remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems that the Muslim Ummah is suffering all over the world. They are bombing our masajid in the Muslim countries. They are watching as if nothing has really happened. A few words of objection or protest. But all the military equipment and might and power that they have, the billions that they spent on acquiring all that ammunition and all those planes and all those helicopters and all the navy ships and everything. What it is for, I can't understand. Just for shining, polishing and having a show once a year. The masajid of the Ummah are being bombed. The Masjid al-Aqsa in danger. But when it comes to this, then when our amal and our actions are raised before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we can cry how much we want. We say, oh Allah, look at our condition. Oh my beloved Allah, look at our condition. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, look at your actions, look at your actions, look at your actions. But all we can do is take lessons and make a lot of dua and assist and help, whether they are in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, where they are not suffering. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.